Hi there, welcome along to another edition of Business Matters. First up, Vanguard Scotland Managing Director Stuart Corrigan continues his short series of features on change management. Today, he's in conversation with Ron Ski, Director of Abertay Housing Association, discussing the counterintuitive nature of successful change management. Stuart.
Hi, Dougie. I'm here with Ron Ski. And Ron, you've been working on a model for how people change and make sense of change in organisations. And this is really quite counterintuitive to what much of the literature says and what is commonly practiced. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, it's PhD research into how leaders make sense of options for change that are presented to them. But what's becoming clear is that leadership isn't something that works in isolation in terms of change. Well, that's a mistake, if it's one of the myths, if you like, of strategic change. So it's a model for change generally, but it was sparked by my interest in how leaders understand change.
So what did you find then?
Well, strangely, there's an assumption that leaders somehow magically understand the need for change, and most of the literature is about how leaders give sense to others about change. But even if that change is accepted as being needed, it's a question of step change. It has to be dramatic, it has to be step change, not incremental. And you need to change people's thinking in order to change their behaviour. So the first step in change in the traditional model is that you have to get people to accept that there's a need for change. And you do that through Cotter's burning platform, something dramatic that gives people the impression there is no choice but to change. Hold their feet to the fire. Get them aware that change is needed.
And of course, what Cotter even suggests is that the role of the leader is to engineer scenarios where, even if those scenarios aren't quite right, but to engineer scenarios where people literally are panicked into change. Yeah. And what you're saying is your research would suggest that sometimes that doesn't work, or that isn't the right way to go about it?
It would go further, and it's counterproductive. Intuitively, it makes sense. Yes, you do have to create this sense of urgency for change, and you have to make big, bold steps in order to get strategic change. The paradox of change, my research is suggesting, is that actually to achieve big change and to achieve quick change, you have to do the opposite of both of those things. So it's counterintuitive.
Because some of the research that I read recently also said that if the change that's presented is too dramatic, or if the problem that's presented is too big, then actually what many of us will do is we will completely and utterly dismiss the problem. We will actually pretend there is no problem and just carry on as normal. And this is something I've seen in many organisations where the management team over a period of years will continually drip out information which says, we're about to go bust, we're about to go bust, we're about to go bust, we must cut costs, and eventually the workforce says, we've heard it so many times, A, we just don't believe it, or B, we're just going to ignore it.
My interest started around the issue of cognitive dissonance. It's something that John Seddon talked about when I first came across him. And I think that ties in exactly with that. It's a question of how do you get people to change their thinking. As I said, the current model is you change thinking and behaviour follows. But what you're just describing is the problem is you don't change the thinking. Behaviour pulls thinking back. And so my research has led to a model which recognises leadership commitment to the current orthodoxy. So the orthodoxy is how we manage. And in terms of the Vanguard model, they describe the current orthodoxy, which most people would recognise, as command and control. The willingness for leaders, and anybody else, to be honest, in the system to change depends on their level of commitment to that orthodoxy. And it mostly affects leaders because they've been in the system longer. They've got to the top of the system in that orthodoxy, so they're very strongly committed to it. They see that as working. They're successful, therefore it must be a good orthodoxy.
Tell me about the alternative view then. Tell me about the model you've developed that can be helpful in how we help people, leaders and staff in organisations to change.
The model identifies an orthodoxy gap or a reality gap. If strategic change implies inherently that there's going to be a significant shift in the direction of the organisation or the strategy, so that means there's a challenge to be faced up to. Now, if you have a weak commitment to your current model of managing and running the organisation, then that poses less of a challenge, and you're more open to different models. If, however, you are a leader who's developed a strong commitment to your current orthodoxy, then that's a huge gap to cross. And the difficulty with the current method, which is change thinking, hold people's feet to the fire, get them to jump this gap. If it's a narrow gap, then yeah, I can cross over that quite easily. If it's something the size of the Grand Canyon, then we get to what you were just describing as, no, that's too big, it's too dangerous, and therefore I just won't actually accept that it needs to happen. What my research is suggesting is that, and this is where the paradox comes in, that you need to do quite the opposite of what most of the literature talks about. If you want step change, there is no step change as such. Step change is always something that's written in history after the event. Step change is lots and lots of small changes that cumulatively become a step change. And the big mistake is to try and make the one big change. How you achieve change is by lots of small actions. The second way to change is actually not to try and change thinking and hope that behaviours will follow, because there's plenty of evidence that doesn't happen, is you need to try and change behaviours, and that leads to an insight, that leads to cognitive dissonance, which leads to a rationalisation process that changes people's thinking. So in terms of supporting change, what you have to do in some ways is lead people down the path of change without pointing it out too blatantly.
So what you're saying is we must change thinking, but we must ensure that we're not signposting it to people and saying to them, you must change thinking. In other words, the job is to design a series of interventions so that people get there under their own steam.
Yes, it's about ownership of change. And I think Vanguard talks about the normative process, and that's absolutely what needs to be done. You have to engage in some of that counterintuitive behaviour. You have to see for yourself that the world is not as you currently view it, and it's only those behaviours that get you to that point that will lead to change in thinking. No change without change in thinking will ever be sustainable, so absolutely you need to change thinking.
And this is interesting, because if you look at the role of a Vanguard consultant, and this is something that John taught me very early on in my career, is really to bring two things to the table. One is methodology, which is the model for check that John developed, but also perspective, which is about how to look at the world from a different perspective, which is all about intervention theory. So as a consultant in Vanguard, we are trained in both of those disciplines, which is, one, what's the mechanism for analysing and changing an organisation? In other words, the processes, the policies, the procedures, the measures. But also, how do you intervene so that you help people think and act and behave differently? And I think this is a really important insight for maybe people who are not familiar with the Vanguard model, which is that what I think you're really saying is that to get big, massive step change, then you need to lead people along that journey one tiny little step at a time. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the organisations that I carried the research out in wanted big strategic change. They needed it quickly, and their approach was to try and change the thinking, get people to realise that needed to happen, and then get the behaviours changing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of effort was put into painting a dramatic picture of the need for change. But all that happened was that people retreated further into their shells and into denial almost about how bad the situation was, exactly what you were describing. In other organisations where a different approach was used, using the Vanguard methodology of trying to get leaders involved in the workplace and to gather data and to understand what was really happening, small exercises that very quickly built up an awareness that things were not as they saw it.
Yeah.
And that was where you then very quickly got the change in thinking, very quickly got action taking place, the interventions, and so you then got the step change. So the bizarre thing is, it's counterintuitive, but you get the step change by taking it slowly to begin with, but the momentum builds up so quickly that you then get the step change.
Excellent. So to summarise, what we're saying is, the model that most people use to create change actually is flawed, because it makes the assumption that we should hold people's feet to the fire, and that by using education people will see the promised land and want to run towards it. Actually, what it does is makes people run away from it often.
Yeah.
Second point is that people change incrementally and gradually, and that's okay, and that you should design that in to your change process, whether it's you as an individual or in an organisational sense, and that really the role of the interventionist within a change programme is to design learning loops where people can see and feel the change required for themselves, and then to be on hand to give them the methodology. And the final point being is that work on getting people doing things. Small behavioural changes will be the thing that will lead to the change in the thinking.
Yeah, if there are profound moments, it's that usually would be described as the defining moment. And I think the other thing was you were mentioning there the incremental approach, and I think that is very important. And it's interesting because you hear leaders, when they're looking at the systems method of getting involved, and say, we haven't got time to do that, because you know, as soon as you say, well, if it's incremental, it must take longer. And this is the paradox of change. It's actually quicker, because if you're adopting a flawed approach and trying to frighten people into change or whatever, it actually takes you longer to achieve anything meaningful if you do achieve it, whereas the incremental approach works very fast and very quickly. So sounds like it's a slow process, but it's actually a much quicker process.